This might be a good time to consider or reconsider some facts about flying, things like the fact that there are no such things as air pockets, like remembering that the engines don't strain during takeoff, the fact that aeroplanes don't mind being in cloud, the fact that pilots will always have enough fuel on board, or that the wings won't fall off, and so on and so on. So now you've got to pass the time between making your booking and actually getting on the flight. There will always be enough time to buy a book, an audio, MP3 player, and a few magazines. So there is no excuse for you to get on board without having plenty of material to keep your mind concentrated. And when you buy these things, don't remind yourself that you need them only because you're frightened of flying. Nope, you're buying them because that's how you're going to entertain yourself on the flight. Remember, there are no negative thoughts, only positive ones. I hope that when you bought your ticket, you let the airline know that you are an anxious flyer, because they can inform the cabin crew, who will then be able to keep you informed of what's going on. Later on, when you check in, remind the airline that you are an anxious passenger. And when you get on board, remind the cabin crew that you are an anxious passenger. If you're really fortunate, they'll introduce you to the pilot before the doors close. After that, of course, there's no access to the flight deck at all. And if you think this is a problem to the cabin crew, just remind yourself that you have paid for your ticket and you are entitled to some service. If they can do it, they're usually pleased to help anxious flyers. As a general rule, they like looking after people. As the time of the flight approaches, do not start to watch weather reports. Doing that will neither make the weather worse or better. Leave it to the pilot to choose whether you should be flying or not. They are much better qualified than you are. A few days before your flight, if you've bought a book, then start to read it until you become really interested in it, at which point, close it, so that when you get on your flight, you'll have something to look forward to and you won't have to struggle through the first few pages of the plot. Another very important part of your success is finding a helper, someone who will be firm but encouraging in your efforts to overcome your fear. Ideally, that person should know you well and understand how you tick, and can be relied upon to stand by you regardless of the circumstances, and importantly, understand what you need in the way of help, not someone who will tell you what you ought to be doing. But you must remember that the plan is to do it on your own eventually. If you're lucky enough to live near the airport that you'll be travelling from, then it's worth making a few visits to the airport before you travel. This will help you to familiarise yourself with the parking areas, the restaurant facilities, the check-in areas, and the general workings of the airport. To be familiar with something is confidence-giving. The less you have to worry about on the day, the easier the flight will be. And it's also a recognised way of dealing with your fear. In these days, with the ever-increasing security, it's worth leaving yourself a lot of time to go through these procedures, because rushing causes anxiety under any circumstances. Being at an airport is part of the graded exposure I was talking about earlier. On the day of the flight, discuss with your supporter the sort of help that you need. If you want to talk and ask questions, make sure that person knows that's what you want. If you prefer to be quiet and left to your own thoughts, then remind them of that. There's nothing worse than having someone constantly telling you that you'll be all right and making idle conversation about the weather, the quality of the coffee, and the colour of the aeroplane when you just want to be quiet and left with your own thoughts. It's a fact of life that those closest to us are the ones that want to help us most, but are often the ones that can help us least because they are so close to us. Have an agreement with your partner about how you want them to behave towards you. If you have children, decide who's going to have the responsibility for them at certain stages at the airport and on the aircraft. Be organised and be in control. Don't let things happen by chance. Control them. Some people find it a useful strategy to take a dominant role and be responsible for telling others what is going on, both during the airport procedures and in flight. Explaining what is going on to someone else quite often reinforces the positive view that we have, because it puts us in a position of responsibility, and that has a beneficial effect on the psychology of fear. Let's just digress for a moment and remember that a part of this strategy to overcome your fear of flying is to eat healthily and make sure that you've had some good sleep during the week before you fly. Remember, good quality sleep is taken between the hours of 10 and 8. You should sleep in a quiet and dark room after a period of relaxation. Get into the habit of taking your sleep at a regular time. Sleep is a complex physiological process and the thing that most of us neglect. Remember the benefits of your physical well-being. Ideally, before your flight, you will have slept well, prepared well, chosen not to rush. You will be wearing warm but light clothes. And these sorts of things will contribute to feeling strong enough to deal with any anxieties that may arise. Your emotional well-being should be of a high order. You can feel good by congratulating yourself, by being gentle and considerate with yourself, and by trying to adopt a can-do attitude. Your body needs to be fit during the flight, so make sure that you drink plenty of water. Avoid eating stodgy foods, and confine yourself to light meals like salads and other watery foods. Most of all, you need to attend to your psychological well-being. And between booking the ticket and getting on the flight, you will have avoided reading press reports. You will have avoided all the twisted thinking processes. You will have taken small steps. You will have avoided describing any of your journey in emotive language. And all these things should be so familiar to you that they are part of the way you feel and behave when you go on holiday or take that business trip. Let me mention again some of the myths of flying that we have dispelled. The wings aren't going to fall off because they're made in one piece. If all the engines were to stop, the plane would not fall from the sky, but would descend just like a glider. Remember, turbulence will not damage the aircraft. It won't harm you if you're strapped in tightly. No one is going to be able to open the doors in flight, and if you do get struck by lightning, it will not affect the aircraft at all. Here are a couple of useful tips about stress. Stress is a feeling that you get when you have to do something that you feel that you don't have the time, skill, confidence or knowledge to do, even though reality may be different. Deal with it by describing what is stressing you. Then describe to yourself the beliefs and attitudes that are generated by the stress, and then describe what you do as a result of the stress. For example, I'm stressed about turbulence because I know there will be turbulence on the flight, and I bet I get really anxious about it. Challenge and change these beliefs and reduce your stress levels. Remember how this is twisted thinking and its effect on the outcome you're needing. What is the evidence for your thoughts? Don't be a wishful thinker, be a realistic thinker. Time now for a change of subject. Part 12, the weather. I've spoken briefly about the weather with regard to turbulence, but of course there's much more to weather than just that. But this course is about overcoming your fear of flying, so I'm just going to describe the basics. The first thing you need to know about the weather is that it doesn't affect the operation of an aircraft as much as you probably think. Rain or wind do not affect how an aeroplane flies at all. Here are some facts about fog. Fog affects roads, railways and ships much more than it affects aviation. To help us in fog, we have very bright lights that show the center and edges of all the taxiways and runways, so it's always possible to operate an aircraft. Surprisingly, it's very easy to take off in fog, because the centerline lights of the runway begin to stream as the aircraft picks up speed. So it's a very simple matter to keep the aircraft straight on the runway. In poor visibility, ground control radar ensures that the runways are clear of traffic before any aircraft are allowed to take off. For landing in fog and poor visibility, aircraft have to be equipped with multiple autopilots, which operate independently, but which keep a check on the performance of the others. In fact, you'd have to stop driving ages before we'd think about having to stop flying. Let me tell you about temperature. Aircraft performance is affected by temperature. As it rises, the amount of lift on the wings is reduced. However, this is allowed for in the performance calculations we make before takeoff and for the landing. But please do not be alarmed, because for all intents and purposes, the performance of an aircraft is not affected until the temperatures reach something like 50 degrees centigrade. As the temperature rises, the weight at which an aircraft can take off is reduced so that the aircraft can perform to a minimum standard laid down, even on the hottest days. That standard will always allow an aircraft to take off and climb without difficulty. By the way, whenever the word minimum is used in aviation, it doesn't mean only just able or only just good enough or anything like that at all. It remains a very high standard, but the minimum acceptable. Rain, as I've just said, doesn't affect us at all. But I wonder why it is that people who are not connected with aviation think that the rain does affect the performance of an aeroplane. The only time moisture can affect an aircraft is when it has frozen. That's to say, when it's ice or snow. And that affects the performance of an aeroplane, but not rain itself. When taxiing or flying in ice and snow, very strict rules are applied with regard to removing it from the aircraft. Different aircraft have slightly different requirements, but they will all be required to have ice and snow removed from the wings before taking off. In flight, when ice settles on the front of the wings and engines, it's removed by circulating hot air around those parts. You may have noticed that on smaller aircraft, the front of the wing appears to be made of black rubber. Well, this is true because on these aircraft, when the ice has settled on the wings, air is pumped into that black rubber, which inflates just like a tire and breaks the ice from the wings. Then it deflates, ready to expand and remove the next lot of ice that settles. By the way, on the ground, ice and snow is removed by special de-icing fluids, which is either sprayed onto your aircraft just prior to taxiing, or by parking the aircraft under a huge gantry, which sprays fluid over the aircraft just before takeoff. Wind. How does the wind affect an aircraft? Once the aircraft is flying, the wind affects a plane in the same way that a tidal current affects a boat. It doesn't change the way it floats or is steered, but it has to be allowed for when navigating. An aircraft makes allowance for the wind by pointing its nose very slightly towards the wind, so that the combination of forward movement and the wind ensures that it travels in the required direction. For takeoff and landing, we always try to take off towards the wind because it reduces the distance needed to get airborne. That's because the aircraft enjoys the benefit of a small amount of lift from the wings as the wind blows over them. If the wind blew at 150 miles an hour, the plane could take off without moving, but it would be using a lot of power to stop it from being blown backwards. We're allowed to take off and land when the wind is behind us, but the wind mustn't be stronger than about 20 miles an hour. Once again, another built-in safety factor. How lucky we are then in aviation that rain, fog and wind has such a small effect on what we do. Let's just touch on how weather occurs because it is very simply explained. The air which covers the planet has three qualities which I've just mentioned. It has movement, which is the wind, it has temperature, and it has moisture, which is rain, snow, cloud, or fog. We have already heard how the air on the planet moves around because of heating at the equator or over land masses and even towns. That explanation was mainly to do with air, which eventually moves up and down and causes turbulence, but the air started by moving sideways first. Depending upon how quickly the air moves, the wind is either gentle or up to gale force. The reason that air moves at all is because high-pressure air moves towards low-pressure air. However, when two air masses collide at the edges, they sometimes end up swirling around each other. Think of two people at a barn dance locking arms and swirling around each other. Well, that's how air moves when the edges collide. As a result of that swirling, just like water going down a drain, the pressure changes in the middle, and in its mildest forms, it makes a low-pressure area. Or, in its most violent, it makes a tornado. The principle is the same. So that's the movement of the air, normally known as wind. The other quality that air has is temperature. The hotter the air, the hotter the day. The colder the air, the colder the day. Simple as that. But the temperature does have an effect on something the air can do, and that is, it can affect the amount of moisture it can contain. Generally speaking, hot air can contain a lot of moisture or water, and cold air can't. Very interesting, you might say, but how does that affect the weather? If hot air has water in it, when it cools, it will turn into cloud or fog. In many respects, fog is just the same as low cloud. That's why on warm autumn days, as evening approaches, you can feel the moisture in the air as it turns into fog patches in fields and around ponds. The ponds, of course, just add to the amount of moisture in the air. Mist, by the way, is the same as fog, but not so dense. So here is the weather summary. When the moisture content, direction, or temperature of an air mass changes, then so will the weather. And that's it. And it's also nearly the end of this audio course. We have pretty well covered everything you need to know about overcoming your fear of flying. There has been a lot of information for you to absorb. You don't have to understand this in one go, and I hope that you will listen to this audio frequently and that you'll become more and more familiar with the techniques that you should use and that you'll be able to use the knowledge that you have gained. In summary, it's as brief and simple as this. Be fit in your mind and body. Develop positive or alternative attitudes. Develop your breathing, relaxation, and visualization techniques until they are second nature to you. Learn and use simple sentences to give yourself confidence. Remember that if it wasn't safe, the pilots wouldn't do it. Remember that knowledge is the best antidote to fear. And remember, despite how you feel now, the chances are that you will overcome your fear of flying. Part 14, some tips for flying. In this section, I'm going to give you tips as you prepare to take your flight. We'll start at the beginning when you book your flight and finish when you collect your baggage at your destination. So first, the tips about booking a flight. Are you about to book your flight and are having second thoughts? What should you do? You feel like avoiding it, I know, but the consequences for your family or friends are so great that you'd feel really guilty. So what should you do? Remember that there will be benefits from taking your flight, so focus on the benefits. Remember that making the booking is not the same as getting on the flight. This is just one small step. You know that you have prepared and that you are equipped to deal with the sensations and emotions that will occur after making the booking. So go ahead and do it. Delaying it will make it worse, even though it doesn't feel like that to you right now. Once you've made the booking, do not allow yourself to have thoughts about what you've done. If you start to think like that, use your thought-blocking techniques. And why not treat yourself to something for having achieved this important part of your flight? You still have lots of time to prepare before the flight and to deal with your fear. Remember that you have to face your fear.